Welcome home. We are WNST, Taos of Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I got my Coco's Pub shirt on today because it is the crab cake season. We're going to be down at Fadley's on Friday because the Orioles are home on Friday. So every other Friday lately, and two Fridays in a row this month, we're going to be at Fadley's on Fridays 2 until 5. Luke will be there talking some baseball as the Arizona Diamondbacks come to town. And of course, we're going to be getting the crab cake tour back out on the road. Costas, Coco's, all of our places, Pappas's. We're going to be in those places beginning in June, put the crab cake tour together for summer. Also got a little special oyster tour thing I'm doing in conjunction with the Maryland Lottery, as well as Liberty Pure Solutions and Jiffy Lube Multicare. Our friends at Cole Roofing power me up with the Royal Farms coffee in the Cole Roofing mug so that I can still be here, still be alive. When the Orioles are this good, this dominant, and Luke Jones, I know you're going to say, yeah, they were really good last year. I understand that. I'm saying from, like, they've gotten better. And anybody that thought last year was, well, they're okay, and maybe if they had some more pitching, and, you know, Santander and Mullins and Hayes and these older guys, well, we'll see what – I mean, like – I have never seen anything like this. I've been doing this 32 years. They just made a documentary recently about how long I've been doing this, and I've never seen anything like this team. And I keep saying this to my wife privately, sitting here watching these games, watching, you know, Dean Kramer and watching Cole Irvin and just all of it, all of it. I mean, last week, the kid that's starting the Venezuelan kid, he's now in the bullpen, Suarez. We got that going on now. Things have fallen into place for this baseball team. It's May. Count me as a true believer. I'm a true believer.
Well, I'll say this. I believed in them last year. I'm going to continue to say that. But they are getting better, and it's evolving. And that's why people were so excited last year. It's why people were so excited at the end of 2022, and we're seeing this play out. It's not as though they're without any issue whatsoever. We'll get to Craig Kimbrel, I'm sure. But they go to Cincinnati, and they sweep the Reds. And not that the Reds are great, but they're another team in the, you know, looking through the lens of young players and young talent and hoping to get better and kind of being in that tier of where the Orioles were a couple years ago, right? And the Orioles are, you know, we've seen it come to fruition. We've seen it in such an emphatic way work. And obviously now it's just a case of continuing to get better. And then once we get to October, which is so far away, and there's still so many obstacles between now and then that could potentially go the wrong way. But
I hope Grayson Rodriguez is healthy by then. That's all I hope.
Sure, sure. Well, he's healthy, and you hope everyone else stays healthy in the process, as we saw. As we were waiting for Bradish and John Means to come back, they come back, and then Grayson Rodriguez goes down. So you're never out of the woods in that regard, but this is a heck of a baseball team, and they have the best record in the American League as they finish off a three-game sweep with Cincinnati. Only the Phillies, who are just, what, a half game better than them after they finished off a good weekend of their own. But, I mean, they're playing at a very high level. And what specifically over the last week, when you consider what the tone of the conversation was, not necessarily between you and me, but how there was so much angst about losing 2 of 3 to the A's and the way that they lost and the bullpen being overworked and Craig Kimbrel being hurt slash ineffective. Well,
then Rodriguez getting hurt. Let's say that because we didn't know Bradish means you're coming back. Come on now, you know, like, and certainly Cole Irvin, like this whole, like wherever we've been the last couple of weeks with him, it's astonishing. I said to my wife, I'm like, I know they're going to hit the ball and I know they're going to have some slumps where they're going to miss the ball, right? Because they have some guys that miss the ball. But for the most part, they have more of guys that have good eyes, make good contact, are in control of the strike zone, like all of that. But the pitching side of this, you've talked about it, I've talked about it. We're not worried about the starting pitcher, we're worried about the bullpen. We're not worried about the bullpen, we're worried about the closer. We're going to be worried. We'll get to that in a minute. But to get the kind of starting pitching they've had this week, specifically Yankees in town, and then go out on the road, say what you want about the Reds over the weekend, but you got guys that are coming back from injuries, guys that are coming back from question marks all the way around, and to be putting up donuts as starting pitchers over the weekend, I stand very, very impressed by the Cincinnati sweep in a lot of ways, on the road, early in the year, all of that. They're not a great team or whatever, but I will look at that it showed me their strength in pitching, and it's answered some questions for me from Elias to say, all right, you know, it's not like all he knew all of this was going to work out, and he certainly didn't know if Bradish wasn't going to take a knife or not, but the stick-to-itness of him, the seeing it through the process, as Ozzie Newsome would say, follow the process of all of this, that if we have enough talent, enough arms, and that trade will come if we need it, if we really do need a pitcher, because 5 minutes ago we were ready to trade, oh, I don't know, Mayo, just pick guys, just get rid of guys wholesale, trade them off Stowers to get pitching. Still might need to do that, but not this week. Just not this week.
Yeah, yeah, and look, I mean, it's important never to judge a team when they're at their absolute best, which is what we saw with the rotation this past week, nor should you do it when you're at your absolute worst. That's why, you know, to your point, when there was so much panic after the Oakland series, not that I think anyone's concerns about Craig Kimbrell have lessened at all, but you look at it through a big picture lens. We know they've swung the bats at a very high level. I mean, they've led the league in home runs. They're right at the top in runs scored. Especially in the American League, but the pitching has been, you know, a more of a question, relatively speaking. But this last week, I mean, the starting pitching, especially amidst the concern with Grayson Rodriguez, who is starting to throw again, so it's not as though they've shut him down indefinitely. But obviously, they had to slow it down and place him on the IL. But I mean, when you get what Cole Irvin's doing for you, obviously, we've talked about Dean Kramer, who, you know, turned in another really good start. I mean, it's, you know, when you're getting that from the back end of your rotation, and then you start to get into, obviously, you have Corbin Burnes, Kyle Bradish is back, John Means does what he did on Saturday night, which was, that to me, that had to be the best. That was the best thing about the weekend. I mean, if you're really trying to look at this, for
because we've forgotten about him.
Not forgotten about him, but
completely. Not even in number two pencil did either. You and I were not talking about, they'll get him back in July and he'll be John Mead. No. It's still a question mark. I mean, even though we saw it on Saturday night, it was a question mark 3 weeks ago when he's getting his brains beaten in Norfolk, right? So that part of him coming back is an X factor that I have not talked about, or you and I have not talked about. Like, I mean, they'll have Means in October and he'll be fine. We didn't talk out loud about that. When guys aren't healthy, I don't talk about them in the future, especially not pitchers.
Well, we talked about him plenty. I mean, I did. Maybe you weren't listening. I talked to him about him a lot. The question was, okay, is it going to be peak John Means, who threw a no-hitter for this team literally 3 years ago on this past Sunday? Or is it going to be a version of John Means that, okay, gives you some starts, but then the elbow's not feeling great, or he looks more like a number five starter? I mean, I think that question was fair. I think the
question was always a might be. It was a durability. He might pitch. He might not pitch. He might pitch well. He might not pitch well. But it was certainly not, we really believe we're getting that guy back, top of the rotation guy, waiting on that, counting on that. I'm not that way with Bradish or Means. I don't say I've written them off, but I was much more writing in arm troubles, coming back from arm troubles, not ready in April. I'm thinking to myself, they're going to have to make a trade. And we talked a lot more about like the possibility of they need to add to the rotation then. Means and Bradish will be back, and all of a sudden Kramer will be the number six. They need to go with six-man rotation. I came up with that conclusion on Sunday. I'm like, let's go with six guys, Luke. We're going to start a new rotation thing around here.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm not necessarily.
I'm making that up, by the way. I don't want Burnes pitching once a week. I'm with you.
Yeah, and that's part of where
we didn't have four starters the other day. Now we got six.
Sure. But again, it's a week-by-week thing. It really is. I mean, you're. Like we said, there was excitement at the start of the week that, okay, Kyle Bradish is going to pitch at some point this week. He's going to pitch that Thursday finale against the Yankees. John Means just shoved at Norfolk on Sunday, so he's going to pitch for the Orioles at some point because his rehab assignment had run out. So it can always turn quickly for the good or for the bad. So, look. 2 weeks from now, you and I will be talking again about them needing to make a trade. I mean, that's
dude.
Just
when you're in first place and it takes a turn for the good, oh my!
Yeah,
we haven't had a whole lot of that around here.
Exactly. So I mean,
Peter Angelos isn't here to screw it up. Neither's John.
Fair enough. Absolutely.
That's the first time in 30 years I could say that out loud.
Yeah, Well, and that's where, to me, the trade deadline becomes that much more exciting, because it's not just a matter of, okay, trading prospects, but can you take on some salary? Will there be a reliever that becomes available that, okay, you'll have to trade a prospect, but you're also going to take on some money? And David Rubenstein says, no problem. So that's certainly, those are the scenarios you're hoping that play out more favorably for them at this point. So, but I mean, it's, you know, you, it's still very early. There's still a long way to go to navigate long season. We just passed the 20% mark, so to speak, the 1/5 mark of the season. So still a long way to go. Still have to keep pitching healthy. Still need to make sure you have enough arms. Even though the rest of the bullpen has pitched well, other than Craig Kimbrel when he's getting rest, we saw it on Friday night. He looked really good because he'd had a few days off at that point in time. Saturday, not so good. So, but I'm still going to have some concern about the bullpen in the big picture, October sense of thinking about it. But beyond that, what do you say about this team that you're not completely impressed about? Okay, they didn't swing the bats all that terribly well until Sunday. But you're going to go through those periods of time. You're going to go through periods of time where you don't swing the bats as well, and that's when you want your pitching to pick you up, and that's what happened on Friday and Saturday. And then you're going to have times where you don't pitch as well, and the bats explode like they did Sunday, even though they pitched well on Sunday. It's really something that I don't know how often a baseball team truly fires on all cylinders. And yeah, you could say right now, Grayson Rodriguez is on the IL. So that's the one thing that's not going well.
Craig so Kimbrel's, is Austin Hayes.
Well, but even Austin Hayes has become their fourth outfielder, before he even got hurt. So who knows what that's going to look like. So, I mean, you're never having everything perfect. I mean, it's never going to be perfect. That's why, we've talked about this a lot with the Ravens in recent years at times where they have some injuries, and I just sit there and say, look, the extreme examples of like 2021 when the Ravens had a slew of injuries, yeah, that's a little bit different. But you're not going to sit there with a clean injury report every week. It's the same thing with a baseball team over 162 games. You're going to have something's going to spring a leak at some point in time. Then you fix that and then something else starts to leak, right? I mean, that's just the nature of it. But by and large, I mean, things are just going really, really well for them right now. And I mean, you just look at them across the board, and pitching is still the relative, and I stress relative, weakness of this ball club, in the sense that I think if you just say Orioles versus Yankees, Yankees do have a better pitching staff, but I'll take the Orioles' position talent, the Orioles' defensive ability, the Orioles' speed and athleticism. I'll take those factors.
I'll take three out of four games, because we just did.
Sure. So you look at it through that lens, but overall, this is 23-11 is 23-11. You're playing .676 baseball. There's not a whole lot to pick apart there, other than just October and thinking about what that means and getting to the next level and not just getting there, but making a run, which got such a long way to go on that front. And, even with the Craig Kimbrel conversation, where you look at this and say, okay, you still want to evaluate some of the arms you have internally. And look, we've seen Jacob Webb make some really big contributions over the last week. And, Albert Suarez, now it was low leverage on Sunday, but coming out of the bullpen, whether it's him pitching 2+ innings or whether it's him being shortened up to be an eighth inning guy for you at some point, you want to see what that looks like. And in the meantime, Mike Elias continues to survey the market and see what's out there and see what potential deals could be made, whether it's now or whether it's the third week of June or whether it's 12 hours before the trade deadline. I mean, there are different options and there are different layers to that. But in the meantime, you are getting some bullpen contributions that you like. And when you get starting pitching, like the Orioles have gotten over the last week, you don't have to work the bullpen quite as hard. And that's part of this as well. Remember last year, I so flippantly said, because their bullpen was being worked hard, that they either needed their starters to go deeper or they needed a few more blowouts and you didn't have to throw Batista and Cano every night. So, Sunday was a good example of they didn't have to work their bullpen quite as hard, and you didn't even have to go to the Craig Kimbrel well or try to pitch Cano again or whatever. So the more you can mix those kinds of performances in, not that you take them for granted, but the more of those that you get, the better off you're going to be, not just that day, but for the next few days. They were in a position where with the off day, two in DC and then another off day, you're in a position where you probably wanted to get a couple guys work by the end of the weekend in Cincinnati, just because, you know, you're going to have, you know, kind of a lighter week just on schedule wise. So, you know, that all factors in. That's why anytime I see anyone, you know, media or fans, and look, we all do this. It's baseball, second guessing and sitting there, you know, on your couch, you know, what guy are you bringing in and which spot, who are they matching up against? Yeah, there's second guessing of Brandon Hyde, but there's also so much that goes into it that he's trying to not just win that night's game, but keep them in position to have a good chance to put their best foot forward the following day. And then in a big picture sense, trying to keep everyone healthy and trying, but also not wanting anyone to sit in the bullpen and collect splinters for 6-7 days and not pitch. And that's why Mike Bauman, you know, saw the ninth inning and, you know, gave up a run and, you know, I would say ruined the shutout, but it didn't really matter. I mean, they still won 11-1, but that's part of it. So, you know, you're managing all that, but it becomes so much easier to manage all that when you get quality starting pitching, when you get the kind of hitting that they got on Sunday, where the bats finally broke out after, you know, pretty quiet weekend up to that point, you know, offensively. So, hey, 3-game sweep, there's not a whole lot to pick apart. I mean, there just isn't. I mean, even the Craig Kimbrel discussion that is ongoing and is relevant. I'm not trying to downplay it or be dismissive of it, but at the same time, I think you also had to recognize where Craig Kimbrel was, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years. It's been up and down, and it's been a guy that you probably can't work like you did when he was 28 years old. So regardless of what his salary is, I mean, he's paid that now regardless. I think you need to look at it and say, if he has to save games 3 out of 4 days, like Felix Bautista was apt to do, that's probably not going to be a good plan. And that's where I do look at it and say, Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias, you got to come up with a plan in that way. And that doesn't mean you get rid of Kimbrel or you demote him to the fifth reliever or anything like that. It just means, hey, we've got to view this through a lens of probably not a great idea that he's going to pitch back-to-back days or try to save 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4. We've got to look at it a little more judiciously and try to keep him as fresh
as
possible.
He doesn't have to have 52 saves and be gaudy and look good on the bubblegum card. No. He needs to save the games that you bring him into. Yeah. And on the nights when his arm, he went last night, you don't bring him back tonight, and you just have closer B tonight. And when you're playing 700 ball and you play pretty good defense, getting 3 outs should be something any of these guys could do. Any of the guys that are available, even a left-hander in the right situation where you haven't brought him in and you get a longer start, you know, bring Perez in the ninth. Let him, you know, if you get two out of three left-handed batters, make them pinch hit and see where their bench is in the ninth inning. But those are the kind of matchups you're going to have because, Luke, I was going to say this. By the way, Luke Jones is here, Baltimore Luke, and I want to give love to everybody that's been sponsoring us, taking care of our 25th anniversary and Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter and all the stuff that's been going on around here. If you haven't watched the doc, I hope you get a chance to go do that. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday. Come on out. But this is a weird week, right? 2 days off. Sort of sleep in your own bed, go down to D.C. At least in the old days, that was sort of the way it worked. You'll be doing that. Burns goes, and then Bradish is going to go. Then you get another day off. Then they come home for a while, right? Then they got Arizona over the weekend. This is a time where, like, the exhale thing, I don't say bye week. You know, they don't get such a thing in baseball. But I was thinking about this. They haven't had rain, right? They haven't banged a game, have they?
No, but they had a 5-hour rain delay.
No, but what I'm saying, but they don't have to make games up. They don't have double headers slapped onto their schedule.
Not yet.
Like, well, getting through April without having really all of that, so that pitching part of the tax, we got to make 2 or 3 games up. We have double headers, all that stuff down the line. They don't have any of that piling up on them now. And the thing that felt like pitching problems all of a sudden feels like they might be okay with the starters if, and look, you and I could have said that January, February, March, if Bradish is okay, if Means comes back, if, it was always an if with those guys. Now that they're back in here and pitching, I don't think we're going to get 7 innings of shutout ball every fifth night from John Means, but it feels like his arm's not going to fall off. It feels like he's strengthening from where he was after the Tommy John to be. And they've been very judicious, very conservative, very cautious with all of these guys. And I have a lot of respect for that because it doesn't feel like the rented mule days of Matt Wieters catching 163 games a year and both ends of doubleheaders. You know, we've come a little way from that in as far as load management for all these guys. But boy, the pitching and the week and the schedule and the Nationals and Arizona, this sets up to be a little bit of an exhale after whipping up on the Yankees and sweeping the Reds. They've had a hell of a week to be able to come home, have a little couple drinks on Cinco de Mayo, take a day off, get another day off, not be on airplanes and other weird places. This is a real nice settle-in week for them, I think. They're a first-place team. They've accomplished everything that you want them to accomplish. They're as healthy as we could hope for them to be, Rodriguez aside. You know, I don't sit back and count the cards at this point, but I would sit back and measure the progress and literally and look at it and say, wow. Because this is where you wanted them to be in February and March. Might be ahead of where you would even have projected them on your best day, given the pitching.
Yeah. At the same time, I hear everything you're saying. The New York Yankees continue to win, even though the Orioles took 3 out of 4 from them. I mean, they didn't gain any ground on them over the weekend. So, I mean, you're really in a position where and I'm not suggesting that that's what you meant by the comment, but they can't take their foot off the gas because the Yankees are right there. And by the way, Boston continues to pitch really well. So they need to win and they need to play consistent baseball and they need to beat the teams they're supposed to beat. So I think your point's well taken just from a standpoint of get a couple days off. You know, you have two quote road games that aren't really road games, right? Because you're so close. I mean, the fact that they flew home after Sunday's game, yeah, which was a late start, I guess. What, Cincinnati had a marathon and all that. That's why they started at 4 o'clock.
Thank you for telling me that because
yeah,
I was.
It was
looking,
strange,
dude. I Googled in the morning because like my wife and I were like having coffee. And I just assumed the game was 1 o'clock and she
Same.
And I have like a family meeting. And I looked down, and I saw it at 4 o'clock and I'm like, all right, is it a national game? And we actually talked about Patriots Day in Boston. I'm like, because I said something to her, and this will be fun for you because you've traveled a little bit, but the Cincinnati trip, I remember going in there in the middle of like a German festival where the whole city was shut down, but it was football season. It was a Ravens game like in October where the entire city was like shut down, couldn't get into any of the streets, street fair everywhere. And I'm thinking, well, that was football season. And I'm thinking, I bet they had some kind of festival. So it was a running festival. Well, good for them. Because the 4 o'clock thing effed with me all day. I'm like, come on, let's get the game going here. And then once it got started, I was like, all right, I can settle in on this 4 o'clock baseball. But the day was over when the game ended. You know, it's like dark when the game ended.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like 1 o'clock Sunday games, even if it is 120 degrees. But a marathon. Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because I did the same thing. I looked at my app. I guess it was early Sunday morning before I go to church. And at first I thought it was, wait, did this update? Like I was really confused. And then I looked to see if they moved it back because there was bad weather or something like that. But no, it was a race in Cincinnati on Sunday morning. So they pushed it.
They did
it
not have it on their website. You're teaching me Monday morning about this, by the way. So.
Well, Kevin Brown mentioned it on the telecast.
They mentioned it. Yeah, he did.
He did mention it. I guess he even jokingly asked Ben McDonald if he had run in the race, and Ben kind of just gave awkward pause, like, I'm not running in that. So, but we saw that and worked out because the Orioles travel-wise, they're coming home. They didn't play on Monday anyway. So it was definitely strange, but hey, it was worth the wait. I mean, Dean Kramer pitched the way that he did, and the bats exploded. It was nice to see Anthony Santander break out. We've been talking about how he has scuffled and saved for a couple 3-4 game stretches all year. Hadn't really swung the bat all that well, so that was nice to see.
John Martin's got to go out and find $5,000 now before he comes on Wednesday, giving money away. I bet people just turned the game off and the bases got loaded. I'm a little weird with the lottery thing. I'm like, can you imagine being the lottery contestant of the day? Every at-bat that comes up, you got a chance to win $500. Like, it's like a spin, and then the bases get loaded, and you're like, nah, boom, gone. I'm like, all right, you know, grand slams, they're fun.
Especially
even even when it's 7-1.
Especially if you were out celebrating having a margarita for Cinco de Mayo, and then that happens. I mean, that wouldn't be that'd be a nice little way to finish
$5,000 on 5-5. How about that?
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to
exactly.
Bring that with John Martin.
So,
absolutely.
So you know, it was good to see them swing the bats and break out the way they did. Not that there were any concerns Friday and Saturday, but it was more of a grind. I mean, you know what, 2-1 and win the other game. You know, you score 3 runs. So I mean, it was very much a quieter weekend offensively until Sunday, and then. Boy, they broke out, and Ryan McKenna hits another home run, and Jordan Westberg hits another home run, and I mean, just up and down the lineup, looked good. So
it's almost
I
like 1970 all over again.
I mean, look at. I saw you made mention about McKenna on social media, but how about Jorge Mateo? I mean, how about Mateo swinging the bat the way he has? I mean, it's kind of becoming, even though Urias started and ended up getting a couple hits on Sunday, you're kind of seeing Mateo. It's looking more and more like he's kind of sort of becoming the everyday second baseman for the time being, because he's swinging the bat, and Urias really hasn't swung the bat. So
well,
maybe
he
that
also
changes.
Knows Jackson Holliday's coming. I mean, well, whenever that happens, unless there's an injury or a real setback,
sure,
he won't be playing second base in the playoffs. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
get. I tell you what, for Mateo and Urias, that's the hardest role in the world, right? You know, that sort of, I mean, even for Austin Hayes to some degree, some of these guys, the bell tolls for thee. And that was for Patrick Queen last year, or for any of these guys. And with Patrick Queen, at least he's playing. You know, with Mateo, at least he's playing right now. But there is a point where some of these guys know guys are coming, and guys are coming to take your job, and they're going to take your job. And now if you get your opportunity, this is where you get to play and get a chance to continue to play elsewhere or in this system. But what valuable pieces they are, Swiss Army knife pieces, that this team will absolutely need. Speed, defense, bench, all of that stuff. Because to your point, the notion that Kerstad's going to be a bench player, or that Kowser was ever going to be a bench player, these sort of blue chip tools guys that you bring them up, you want to see them play 5 days a week. I mean, they have a limited amount of at bats. So that's why Mateo and Urias even playing a month and a half ago, we might have questioned that.
Well, and look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I love the idea of one or the other playing every day, which is their format right now. But that's where they are with Jackson Holliday. And that's just, Holliday's working on stuff at AAA. And, I've seen some video. It looks like he has, the leg kick's not quite as exaggerated as it was. As I told you, it wasn't about him just going there and putting up numbers. They're going to make some adjustments. They identified some adjustments that he needs to make that isn't about triple A pitching. It's about hitting major league pitching. So, that's where that failure was constructive in a way of, okay, here's what you need to do. In the meantime, Jorge Mateo and Urias, look, you do the roster math. Are both those guys going to be on the roster the entire year? That's a big question mark right now. One or the other, yes.
McKenna's part of this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tougher to look at McKenna and say he's going to hold on to a roster spot once Austin Hayes is healthy. I mean, Austin Hayes had kind of become the new Ryan McKenna, so to speak. And we'll see how that works out. I mean, Colton Cowser, in fairness, he's cooled off, and that's not to say that he's, going to lose his starting job. I'm not suggesting that, but he's cooled off. Guys come back to earth. There's ebbs and flows to this. I mean, we know that. But in the case of Mateo and Urias, this is an opportunity for both of them right now, where they know that you do the roster math come September. Is there a job for one of them? Absolutely. Is there a job for both of them? That's a big question mark, depending on how the roster is constructed. So you better take advantage. And we've seen Mateo do a better job of that than Urias to this point. So, he's even hit a couple home runs here recently. So, we'll see how it plays out. Jorge Mateo looked like, go back and look at his numbers last April. He looked like an MVP candidate and didn't hit it all the rest of the year. So, I mean, there's some of that that's always at work as well. But for all these guys, other than Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman, right? I mean, really, they all know that there's someone at AAA that's gunning for them. No pun intended there. I mean, there's someone at AAA that's eyeing a roster spot or eyeing more at bats or saying, hey, I can come in and be better than that guy. And, not saying that the roster is going to turn over that much, that dramatically, that quickly, but it's already turned over a little bit.
If I had a press credential, by the way, if I had a press credential and I were talking to Mike Elias, that'd be something I'd ask him about. I'd ask him about that good energy for jobs. You know what I mean? The backup quarterback for the Ravens knows he's not playing. Lamar's got the job, right? Like, the backup catcher here knows he's only going to play twice a week in McCann or whatever. But to your point, the rest of these, Santander hitting a grand slam late at night, Mullen's playing for a job. Hayes playing for a job. Mountcastle's been playing for a job from the very since the time when before they traded away Mancini. All of these guys. Mateo, okay, give me second base, third. I'll play wherever you sent me. Just give me some at bats. Let me get into the game. And we weren't that far away from Westberg just being half a rookie last year. My wife was looking at Ellie De La Cruz. She's like, when did he come up? What's his story? Whatever. I'm like, kind of came up like about this time last year. I said, I bet he hasn't even been up a year yet.
No.
And the same thing is true for Kowser. I mean, we go through all these guys that feel like they've come with the laundry, and a lot of these guys are Grayson Rodriguez. We're talking about missing him. He wasn't even here this time last year. So it is amazing how quickly the furniture does change, but also the fact that there's real, in some organizations, it would be tension, right? And who knows with jobs and this, but only one guy can play the position most days. They have a really crowded, competitive situation that needs to be managed the right way, because everybody that's on the bench wants at bats and feels like they've earned them, feel like they're big league players.
Yeah. Well, and some of what you just said, let's also remember guys struggle. And just because something looks a certain way, I mean, Grayson Rodriguez was in the Orioles rotation last year at this time. He wasn't doing well. You know, it wasn't going well for him. Colton Kowser got called up, what, right around the 4th of July last summer. He was awful. I mean, to the point where they had to send him back down. So that's
Jackson another Holliday was awful. Was awful.
There's Let's another example is, for right? Jackson yeah. Holliday. Yeah. Jordan Westberg was never awful last year, but go look at his numbers. They were pretty pedestrian. They were pretty, I don't know if underwhelming is the right term, because
Why are you here? You're
well,
right?
I don't know about that. It was bad. It was more so if you watched him play, it was like, okay, is this really going to be a long-term guy, or is this guy just fine for right now?
Dude, that's why Adam Frazier and Mateo and that's why those guys were in the lineup last year, right? Literally.
Well, I mean, we could have debated when Jordan Westberg could have been there. I mean, I still didn't quite fully understand the Adam Frazier signing when they signed him, but hey, it was fine. It wasn't a negative, but you know, you don't always know how guys are going to respond. For every guy that comes up and is a star right away, you'll have some other guys that scuffle for, I mean, Adley Rutschman scuffled for 3 or 4 weeks, and Adley was beyond ready for the major leagues. I mean, you're talking about a kid who could have been in the major leagues a year earlier, but we know the Orioles weren't rushing because they were still really bad. And why do you want to start a service clock at that point? You know, Gunnar Henderson struggled at this time last year. You know, he was hitting under 200, but he was drawing walks and doing enough to say, okay, this is looking not great, but there's enough to like to continue to trot him out there every day. Whereas, you know, with Jackson Holliday a couple weeks ago, there was so much swing and miss, so much striking out, where it's just like, I think he needs to reset and make some adjustments here. So there are varying degrees of this. That's why I always say player development does not end, does not culminate with a call up to the major leagues. It continues there. So, and that's the challenge, because the jump from AAA to the majors is so immense. And you know, some people have even opined that because of all the pitching health concerns we're seeing at the major league level, you're maybe even seeing more AAA pitchers being promoted more quickly than they normally would be even. So, you know, it's a theory. I'm not going to sit here and say that that's absolutely the truth, but you know, it's challenging. So that's where, when Jackson Holliday gets sent down, yeah, it's disappointing in the moment. And yeah, I thought they handled the whole thing. It was weird in how that was handled, going back to the offseason, even with how they talked about it. But there's no reason to be discouraged in a big picture sense, because you see what Kowser's doing. You see what Gunnar Henderson a year later looks like, the MVP of the American League, other than maybe Juan Soto. You know, he's in that tier, though. He's right there in that discussion.
And Westberg's a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, and Colton Kowser looks like he's going to be Rookie of the Year. And Grayson Rodriguez, until the shoulder issue, you know, had been one of the better pitchers in the American League going back to the All-Star break last year. So, you know, it takes some time. It's really difficult to do this. And I don't say that to make excuses for guys, but when you're around it and you see the work that's put in, you see the preparation required, you see the work the entire organization has done to develop talent, it's a reminder of, just because it's been really successful doesn't mean that it's easy all the time and everyone's going to get it right away. So I think there are enough success stories to say, all right, Jackson Holliday has to go down. It stinks for the moment. It's disappointing for the kid right now. I'm sure he's down in the dumps a little bit. This is the first time he's really failed at any level of baseball. But considering how these other guys have handled it and how they've pulled themselves up off the floor, up off the dirt, and turned themselves around, you have every bit of confidence that he's going to do it, whether it's going to be in June or whether it's going to be in July or August, or whether it's going to be next year, maybe. You know, I mean, who knows? You never really know for certain. But, you know, with all those stories, this team continues to just roll. And when you're talking about a team that is winning two-thirds of its games, a little over two-thirds of its games as consistently as they are, and, you know, Oakland series was a hiccup, and then they go 6-1 and pitch the way they did over the last week. You know, it's tough to be too concerned about anything, even if we'll continue to talk about some of the pitching in a big picture sense and maybe a closer being acquired at some point between now and the trade deadline.
All right, Burns and Bradish, a couple days off around this. The Orioles will be home on Friday against the Arizona Diamondbacks. We go see the Orioles play Tuesday or Wednesday night. All I get to do is go down to D.C. and pay a lot to park and a Gucci little neighborhood down there and pay your tolls, have some fun, go down there and hate on the Washington Nationals in the great Peter Angelo style of give us back our Masson. He is Luke. He is Baltimore Luke. I am Nestor. The 25th anniversary documentary, No One Listens, Everyone Hears, is available. Luke and I will be at Fadley's at 2 p.m. on Friday getting ready for the Arizona Diamondbacks. All of that brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I will have Pac-Man scratch-offs to give away. Also, our friends Jiffy Lube Malty Care and Liberty Pure Solutions bringing it all home for us. It's May. Birds are in first place. Ravens are out running around doing a little mini camp stuff. Luke will be on all of that stuff as well. And we have an election this week here in Baltimore, Maryland. Make sure you're voting and voting responsibly. We'll be talking to some more political candidates before the week is over. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.